Let's continue reading verses 9 through 11 of Jonah chapter 4. Now in this last section of the book of Jonah, the Lord presses home the lessons that Jonah needed to learn. And we believe that Jonah did learn the lessons that God intended to teach him because he wrote the book. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Once again, some background notes. Notice that the book of Jonah ends abruptly. It ends with a question from God to Jonah. This question summed up the lessons that God was trying to teach Jonah. Verse 11 once again. "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" The 120,000 persons here who cannot discern between their right hand and their left is probably a reference to the number of small children in Nineveh, meaning that the population of ancient Nineveh was at least 600,000 people. That's why God called it a great city. Now, how did Jonah answer God's question? We believe that he answered it with a yes. God says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city?" We believe he answered it with a yes. "Yes, Lord, it is right that you should pity Nineveh. I've been wrong in my attitude. I've been immature and selfish and short-sighted." Now, how can we say for sure that Jonah learned his lesson and changed in his attitude? Because we believe that Jonah wrote the book. Hebrew tradition has always held that Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. How could Jonah possibly write this book, especially chapter 4, if he hadn't changed in his attitude towards Nineveh? So Jonah wrote the book as a testimony to the grace of God. Jonah wrote the book not only to tell his own story, but as a rebuke to the northern kingdom of Israel. The rebellious northern kingdom of Israel under King Jeroboam II was proud because of its accomplishments. They had even reclaimed some of the lost land, the land that they had lost to Assyria, in accordance with the prophecies that Jonah had made earlier. Remember, we saw that back in 2 Kings 14:25. But Israel had not turned back to the Lord, and Israel was not the light to the Gentiles that she was supposed to be. So Jonah wrote this book as a rebuke to Israel. Nineveh, the capital of the pagan Gentile Assyrian Empire, had turned from their wicked ways and repented. To be specific, Nineveh did not become the capital of Assyria for another 60 years. But it was a large and great city, and the king lived there, as the Bible says. And the whole city responded to the grace of God and repented, and God withheld his judgment. But Israel would not respond to the grace of God. Therefore, the coming judgment would not be removed from Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC, about 35 to 40 years after Jonah wrote his book. Thus, the book of Jonah was a rebuke to the nation of Israel. And it certainly would not have made Jonah a very popular prophet in his old age. Remember, Jonah was a very popular prophet in his younger days because he had predicted prosperity, and it came true. But now he would not be that popular because his book would be a rebuke to the nation of Israel. But Jonah had learned his lesson and was no longer the proud and selfish and narrow-minded and short-sighted prophet who fled to Tarshish. No, he was now willing to speak out against Israel. Jonah had changed and come to appreciate the wideness of God's mercy. Studying the book of Jonah should have this effect on us as well, to appreciate the wideness of God's mercy. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God is more concerned about people than plants. God is more concerned about people than plants. In verse 9, God asked Jonah for the second time whether he had a good reason to be angry. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Notice Jonah's answer. And Jonah said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." Jonah at this point is still like the pouting child having a temper tantrum. But notice how God in his grace reasons with Jonah. God doesn't shout Jonah down and say, "No, you don't have a good reason to be angry." Look at verses 10 and 11 once again. See the way God reasons with Jonah. "But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?'" Do you see what God is saying here? "Jonah, why are you so uptight about the plant? Give me one good reason. It's not your plant. You didn't make it. You didn't even spend any time cultivating it or making it grow. Can't you see, Jonah, that you're being selfish and short-sighted and immature? You're so concerned about that one plant that you had nothing to do with, and you're not the least bit concerned about perishing people that are far more important than plants." You see what God is saying? "Please, my servant Jonah, grow up and get the big picture. Can't you see that I'm concerned about people? I made them. I love them. I don't want them to perish. Jonah, think of the children. Where's your pity? You're not even concerned about the animals that would perish. How selfish are you anyway?" What a lesson for us. So often, we're short-sighted like Jonah. We're more concerned about the comforts of life that God has given us than about the lost people around us. Now, maybe we think we're not as bad as Jonah, but think again. I know Christians who are literally more concerned with their garden plants than for the lost people around them. Many of you have house pets. Suppose you were given this option. You could see the salvation of one of your lost neighbors, but you would have to give up your favorite pet. Sounds like a silly illustration, doesn't it? But it exposes our true hearts, doesn't it? We're like Jonah. We're selfish and short-sighted. We literally cry when the Lord chooses to take away some of the comforts of life that he has given us. Do we literally cry about the lost condition of people around us? That's the lesson Jonah had to learn. That's the lesson all of us need to learn. God is more concerned about people than plants. Doctrinal point number two. God is more concerned about compassion than condemnation. God is more concerned about compassion than condemnation. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, we read, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is more concerned about compassion than condemnation. Jonah had to learn this lesson. Jonah was more concerned about condemnation than compassion. And Jonah was convinced that God was not concerned about showing compassion to the pagan Gentile Assyrians. But Jonah was wrong. Jonah had to learn the truth of Romans 3:29. "Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles?" Yes, of the Gentiles also. But even when Jonah learned the truth that God wanted to show compassion to the pagan Gentile Assyrians, he didn't like it. Jonah had to learn the hard way that God is more concerned about showing compassion than condemnation. Jonah learned that lesson in his own life as God graciously disciplined him, as we've seen through this book. And Jonah finally learned this truth in reference to Nineveh, as God taught him through the object lessons of the plant and the worm and the wind. Have we learned this lesson? Have we learned that God is more concerned about showing compassion than condemnation? Is there a Nineveh that God wants you to go to? Remember, Ninevehs are people and places for which you don't have a lot of compassion. In fact, you don't care that they're under the judgment of God. In fact, maybe you're even glad that some of these Ninevehs are under the judgment of God. But God cares. That's the point. God cares. And in line with the Great Commission, God may ask us to do some things we don't want to do in order to show compassion. Showing compassion to Nineveh involves stepping out of our comfort zone. Sharing with Nineveh may involve some risk, but let's not fear Nineveh more than we trust God. The Ninevehs are always there. Let's not be more concerned about our physical welfare than with others' spiritual welfare. We need hearts of compassion for the lost. Over and over again, we read in the Gospels that our Lord was moved with compassion for the lost. Are we? You know, right now, I have a married couple as two of my students, and they are interested in going to New Guinea as missionaries when they finish school. I asked them, why New Guinea? They said that the Lord had given them a special burden and compassion for the lost people of New Guinea. Folks, the lost of Nineveh are out there. Our lost neighbors, our lost colleagues at work, the lost people around the world, they are under condemnation for their sins. Do we care? God is more concerned about compassion than condemnation. Practical application from this last section of the book of Jonah. Let God have the last word. Let God have the last word. As we come to the end of our studies on the book of Jonah, we should be encouraged because we believe it ends with Jonah not only a recommissioned prophet, but a prophet whose heart was fully in line with the heart of God. Jonah finally let God have the last word. At first, Jonah would not even give God his hands as he fled to Tarshish. Then Jonah gave God his hands, but not his full heart. Finally, Jonah gave God his full heart. Jonah let God have the last word. At the end of the book, the very end of the book, Jonah's not questioning God's ways any longer. He's letting God do the talking, right? Remember, Job came to this same place. Job no longer questioned God's ways. He let God have the last word. Read the last chapter of Job in this connection, Job 42. Have we come to the place where we're no longer questioning God's ways? Does God have the last word in our lives? Giving God our whole heart may take a lifetime. But here's the good news. As God never gave up on Jonah, God will never give up on you. Now, where are you right now? Are you like Jonah at the beginning of the book? Or are you like Jonah at the end of the book? Let God have the last word.